And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. That which I come across in Scripture, my devotions, and go, wow, I wish I was doing that. The title of this one, Touching Me, Touching You. Touching me, touching you. Plus, we'll look at what it means to forgive it. Forgive it. The professor of retirement, our very own Marty Schneider, joins us live. And today's Facebook post, that doesn't make it true.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, you know what we're doing? We're asking you. What do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. You know, I've done this intro 1,000 times. I think I can do it 1,000 more and 1,000 different ways. Remember, any topic's open for conversation. Did we do that already? We'll do that again. Every topic's open for conversation, unless it's really a bad topic, okay? I mean, something really bad, like why are gumdrops not as good as milk duds? I don't think that's a good topic. Don't forget, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. I want to
dig a little. The Gaither Homecoming Tour is coming. Time to take with unmistakable harmonies. With me, please, in the plus, a new album. And a new tour, the Better Together Tour. Gaither Homecoming, with special guests Charlotte Ritchie, Gene McDonald, Kevin Williams, and more. 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon, April 9th, at the Shadow Mountain Community Church in San Diego. Tickets available now at 855-484-1991, the Shadow Mountain Community Church, or at gaither.com. Gaither Homecoming Better Together Tour, filled with classic songs and new favorites. A Gaither Homecoming you don't want to miss. Better Together. Produced by Fill the Gap Concerts.
Loyalty and commitment. What I'm referring to here are values I'd like to see restored in everyday life, even in the church. This is Jim Garlow. I make no apologies about it. I want to see an intensified commitment and, yes, a healthy, fierce loyalty to the church. Call me crazy. I think loyalty and commitment are values we need now more than ever in our churches. And just because they may be disappearing, I don't have to like it. Commitment is the number one most needed ingredient in every church. What fuels commitment? What makes loyalty happen? It's not guilt. It's not inflicting some kind of condemnation or rules or edicts. It's a passion. It's a passion for Christ. It's a passion for God. A passion for knowing God's Word. So where's your passion? Your answer will determine your commitment and your loyalty. This is Jim Garlow. There's more on today's issue at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Sports hub of the universe. Okay, that was a joke. Sports hub of the universe, San Diego. Okay. You didn't think that was funny, did you?
Kind of hurts.
Come on.
At least we got the weather.
Listen, you can't beat the weather. There's many great things about San Diego. Many, many, many fantastic things. I'll tell you one thing that's not fantastic about San Diego. El Camino Real on morning rush hour. That's not fantastic. Because on my way to my son's grandson's circumcision, it was 3 miles away. It took me like 17 minutes. I was like, wow. I was pretty surprised. But anyway, I digest. Let's get into some other things. We've got, do not forget about our mobile app. That's free. And that's for either iPhone or for the Android system. A Pixel will also work on that, as mine does. And that's helpful to know. And then we've got some cool events coming up. Different things taking place. We encourage you and have done so since the show has started, and we'll do so until the show's off the air, to participate or connect to somebody, a fellowship somewhere we recognize. Some people cannot. They are not able to. And for those, you know, I'm not saying anything to you, but for those that could or can but have been hurt, I fully understand. If you get a chance to get the book that I, you know, wrote, you'll fully understand that I fully understand under hisappointment.com. But again, staying in loner Christianity can be a very dangerous place for believers to exist. That's all I'm saying. It's easy for the wolf pack to take people out when they're Lonerville. That's just a reality check of nature. So keep that in mind. Okay, we've got a DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. This is coming out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. I'm down to 7 chapters left in Zechariah, 4 chapters left in Malachi, and then I'll be done with that Bible read through that translation. And that's, I got to say, really have enjoyed the Holman. Just really one of those cool ones. This one is called, the DDD is called Touching Me, Touching You, and that's important to understand. So let's play the little bit of song clip we have, and then we'll explain it.
Touching me, touching you.
Yeah, see, we couldn't throw in the Sweet Caroline, obviously, because that doesn't make sense for the rest of it, but I think most of you get where we're going with
that. What about
that.
The bop, bop, bop part?
Da, 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 da. You can do that. I mean, that part's fine. You just, how does it, you know... It doesn't work otherwise. All right. Let's talk about something that you and I need to know. We talked about bad attitude last hour. We talked about that the entire hour. This particular segment, I want to talk about something else altogether different. And that's how God expresses his compassion and passion for you and I. That's an important element. I'm going to use a couple of illustrations that may be beneficial. I certainly hope they're beneficial. This is coming out of Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For those that do not know, Zechariah is the second to last book in the Old Testament. It says this, "For the Lord of hosts says this, he has sent me for his glory against the nations who are plundering you. For anyone who touches you touches the pupil of his eye. I will move against them with my power, and they will become plunder for their own servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." You get a passage like this in Zechariah, which much of this passage has to do with judgment. And the judgment is against nations who have throttled Israel. I mean, just beat the people down so badly that the only words of hope are really prophetic words coming out of the mouth of prophets. And I want to point something out that Zechariah talks about. He says, he has sent me, and it's important to understand that God does send people into your lives. So I just kind of want to do kind of a sidebar here, that the Lord sends people into your life. He sends what we would understand as messages or insights or instructions into your life. You ever notice there might be a time where you really are genuinely seeking to grow somewhere in the Lord, and then you get this lesson from the Lord, and you're like, oh, wow, I need to really implement this into my life. That's the Lord sending you instructions, sending you insights, sending you messages. But God also does something else that people should be aware of, especially if you've ever read the book of Hebrews or Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, and that is God sends messengers into your life, people that speak, that say something that you go, whoa, I really kind of needed to hear that. That was really timely. You ever had somebody say something to you and you were like, man, that really applies to me right now? The Lord's been telling me that. He's told me that 3 times, 5 times, 10 times. Here it is yet again. I have a very good friend who's had the Lord had a passage that was brought to him that he heard in a sermon, that he heard in another sermon, that he heard in another teaching, and the passage was over and over and over again. And he felt like the Lord was saying the same passage over and over again. Hey, you know, there's a reason God sends a message like that into your life. It's because he wants you to listen. He might send a person who speaks in a prophetic way, a messenger-type person, angelic. We know we've entertained angels unaware. You know, Scripture says that we have entertained angels unaware. Did you know that? That's in Hebrews 13. There's some people that you've taken care of, you didn't even know that they were an angel sent by God. Uh-oh. Was that scriptural? Only if you believe in the New Testament. Only if you believe in Hebrews chapter 13. Only if you believe in the Bible. All right. I mean, this is pretty obvious that this stuff takes place. And the Lord does that, by the way, for his glory. He doesn't do it for your glory. He does it for his glory, but he does it because he loves you. Do you know that the Lord sends you messages, instructions, because he loves you? Can I just take this moment? Can we look at this verse that says, anyone who touches you touches the pupil of his eye? Do you know what expression we get from this? Do you know what the other word is for pupil? You want to take a shot in the dark? It's apple. Have you ever heard that expression? That person is the apple of my eye. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah. And what about apple doesn't fall far from the tree?
Yeah, but that is true. But what this is saying is you're delightful for me to look at. Now watch this. I saw my little grandson today. He's delightful. He's like the apple of my eye. Wait a minute. That's how God feels about you. You know how important you are to God? You are the delight of what he sees. Wow. Did you ever meet somebody that was just such a pleasure to know that person? I love that person. That person's great. Well, the way that the Lord feels about you, you know what the pupil, that's like that inner part in your eye, right thing, that thing in there. You're the delight of his sight. Do you know how you think sometimes God's mad at you? I did this wrong. He's mad at me. I did this wrong. He's mad at me. You know, I can tell you now as a dad, my sons and my daughter have done wonderful things, but dude, they've done a ton of wrong things. I don't love them any less. My love is not contingent on their performance. I will confess that I don't appreciate the round-the-edges attitudes that they have from time to time, which I think simply just needs a little bit of a, you know, in the tushy. But I love them the same. Do you know how God feels about you? Wait, get it, right? He loves you the same as the day you said, yes, Lord. And for all those people that are out there going, well, he knows me better now and all that other stuff, you are the apple of his eye. And you know what he says in the passage? He says, you know those people that are hurting you? I'm going to have to hurt them. It's like, whoa, wait, what? He says, they will become plunder and they'll know I was here. Like, wow. That's how much God loves you. He's not sitting there trying to pick you apart. If he wanted to pick you apart, you'd be long dead. He's trying to make you look like Jesus, step by step. But he loves you. You know how you don't love you? That's okay. God loves you. And use his opinion because it's better than yours. After all, he's smarter than you are. And you go with the smarter person, don't you? Here's God's opinion. I love you. You're the apple of my eye. Oh, I'll take that one, please, and I'll take it all day long. Touching you, touching him, touching me, touching you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you take a vacation, pay off some bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there may be a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. And the best part is, you can do all of this from your laptop or smartphone. Sound interesting? Call my friends at Online Trading Academy at 888-631-TRADE. They want to send you a Wall Street Insider's Kit so you can see what this is all about. The kit includes videos, investing articles, and even one of their most popular classes. And the best part? It's all for free. They will even throw in 2 free tickets to their next workshop so you can ask questions and learn more. Learn to make money when the market goes up or down. Call my friends at Online Trading Academy at 888-631-TRADE. Call 888-631-TRADE. 888-631-TRADE or text the word INVEST to 57682. Message and data rates for texting may apply.
When worry walks in, strength runs out, but strength returns when we run to God.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Shelley Beach. Shelley writes, "The day my husband Dan and I began our caregiving journey with our aging parents, we linked arms and felt as if we were plunging off a cliff. We didn't know that in the process of caregiving, the hardest task we would face would be to allow our hearts to be searched and molded, and to allow God to use this special time to make us like Him in new ways." Shelley continues, "On days when I felt I was plunging toward earth in an out-of-control freefall, God showed me my agendas, my reservations, my fears, my pride, and my selfishness. He used my broken places to show me His love and forgiveness. My pastor has said, 'The best day is the day you see yourself for who you are, desperate without Christ. Then see yourself as He sees you, complete in Him.' This was the blessing of caregiving in my life. As I saw who God had created me to be, I turned and ran weeping into His arms. I cried out with the psalmist, 'Search me, God, and know my heart.' This is my prayer for you, that as you see yourself in the midst of your own circumstances, you will turn and run into the open, loving, and forgiving arms of God. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to let you know, please. If you want to reach us, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget about our Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience. You're welcome to send me a private message there or send me an email. Either way, I would appreciate prayers for me and my family as we go through the various asunder trials that most people go through. Let's see. I want to cover that. Don't want to cover that. I do want to let you know there's something that the Lord's been trying to teach me, and I think I'm resistant to it, so I'm trying to kind of work on it. But there is a value in having people that are close to you you know, pray for you on a regular basis. And so sometimes I have too much pride where I won't ask even my wife for prayer or for help. And I really feel like the Lord is trying to teach me that, you know, I'm not independent Superman kind of guy, and I got to be dependent on other people and other people's prayers. And that's not always, I think, the easiest element to do, because sometimes you'll have an attitude of, I can get this done, I can do this, I can do this. But it's there's nothing in error asking people to help or pray for you. There's nothing wrong with seeking assistance. And there's no body, no human, no self-sustaining human that can keep themselves going at the same level or rate that God can keep somebody going through answered prayer. Answered prayer is one of the most powerful weapons and benefits in the universe. And so sometimes I'll get too full of personal pride, won't ask people to pray for me. I'm going to try and change that piece by piece, I'm sure, about asking people to pray for me. I did that today with somebody in the office. And I think it's important, not just for me to be able to ask for help, but for them to know that they can help. And so if anybody ever asks you to pray, one thing I did say to Tugboat Todd that I used to say all the time to a robo-producer is, if somebody asks you to pray and you say yes, but you're one of those people that does not follow up, then as soon as they walk away from you, pray for them. Just right then and there, right in your heart, right in your mind, right to the Lord. Bam. Always be a person that does it if you're going to commit to doing it. That I'm going to commit to asking for prayer more. You don't want to pray for me, you don't have to. But if you want to, please do. I would appreciate it. All right, let's get into our DDD. This does not actually have a sound. This came across in my devotions yesterday. It's called Forgive It. Forgive It. Here's what it says. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when you stand to pray, if you hold anything against another, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses as well. When you stand to pray, if you hold anything against another, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses as well. One shout out to Ohio State. Ron, I guess I wasn't thinking about this particular DDD. Sorry about that. Here's something you need to understand. It says, when you stand to pray, that does not mean that Scripture requires you to stand to pray. All right? There is standing when you pray. All right? Get this. There is sitting when you pray. Okay, get this. There is driving when you pray. Because have you ever prayed driving your car standing up? No? Okay. Because that's absurd. But then don't tell me you haven't been on the freeways here and haven't been praying. I mean, come on. Right? There is not a formula in Scripture in regards to posture other than the defined humility, confidence, faith, seeking of mercies. I mean, those are some of the things that are defined. But the Scripture doesn't give you particularly a posture. There's one passage where it says that Jesus opened his eyes and lifted them to heaven. So an entire church group thought that the only way to pray is with your eyes open, lifted to heaven, because that's the only way that's permissible. It's not that Scripture forbids that. That's absurdity. But it doesn't command that that's the only way to communicate. And in reality, people close their eyes when they pray. Why? To block out all the other sensory input that's coming in so they can concentrate more. What's wrong with that? I mean, how is that a big deal? Who cares? In other words, those are not the kind of things that consume the kingdom of God. Right? Spiritual warfare consumes within the kingdom, not whether your left eye is open or your right eye is open. A little bit too much legalism going on for some people there. Okay, so everybody take a deep breath and relax. I often find myself more than not praying when I'm on an airplane, specifically when I hit an air pocket and the stewardess, who's one row behind me, screams as my stuff is on the ceiling. I tend to think that's a perfect time to pray right there. That's just me, you know. Well, I don't know. The idea is not to legalize some of this stuff. You know, when you're praying, you're praying. But here's something that Scripture does command you that gives no room around. There's no walk around here. You know how you'll look for a walk around, you look for a way around? Here's what it says. If you hold anything against another, forgive it. Now, here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say if you hold something against another, just forget about it. That's not what it says. It's saying forgive it. Like, let it go. Like, did somebody do you wrong? Have you ever been done wrong too? And I've used this illustration before. I think it's a valid one. Jesus never said, if you are ever offended. He always says, when you are offended, forgive. It's not if, it's when. So in this case, if something has hurt you, and that happens quite often in the human race and in our relationships, you can't hold it. You got to forgive it. You got to let it go. Is it easy to let go? I would say no. I would say the deeper the pain, the harder that process seems to be. And I will confess there are things that I need to let go of, people that other things, other people around me need to let go of. But the reality is if you're praying, you got to let go of it. Because in order for forgiveness to reign in our hearts, not just us giving it, but us receiving it, in order for that principle to be pretty active, we need to be operating in it. So there are times where you got to forgive it. So if you're holding it, you got to stop holding it. Now, it's fair to come before the Lord and say, I think it's fair to come before the Lord and say, I need to let go of it. I don't seem to be letting go of it. Help me. I mean, that, I think, is an honest prayer. And I was just talking about somebody with somebody today about that. But the idea that you and I hold it when we come into prayer is probably not beneficial for our prayer life. It probably doesn't allow forgiveness, the flow, and the reign in our hearts. It probably speaks to why we don't forgive ourselves, because we're not forgiving anybody else. And typically you're not forgiving when you're not receiving. And there's a lot of that element that goes around. But the scripture commands us to let it go. And you and I can hold on to something so long that what does it become when it sits inside you for a long time? It becomes bitter. And bitter becomes destructive. And destructive becomes anti-productive. I mean, whatever the opposite of production is. So I encourage you, when you are praying, when you are communing with the Lord, to let some of those things go that you think are really important to hold on to, let it go. It's not going to benefit you to hold it inside of you and to create a bitter hole in your stomach, let alone in your spirit. Okay? All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back. We have our special guest joining us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Hi, this is Sue Fries, owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Right now is the 40 Days of Hope in San Diego. This is about one body united in the region across denominational lines, first asking God to transform us, then to empower us to bring light and truth to the region. I encourage you to join in prayer, fasting, worship, and outreach together. Now now through Palm Sunday to bring transformation to San Diego and reach souls for our Lord. Put your prayer meeting on the community calendar and reach out to your community with others. Go to 40daysofhope.net or visit the Facebook page to receive the daily prayer prompts. Yes, unification makes us strong. Unfortunately, termites know this too, so don't let them take up residence in your home. Ecola Termite and Pest Control offers powerful pest control as gentle as a butterfly.
Dr. Kent Brantley contracted Ebola while working as a medical missionary in Liberia. Kent's boss, Franklin Graham, talked to Kent's wife after he heard the news.
There wasn't much I could say to comfort her, but I told her, I said, we try to do all that we can.
Kent was healed of the disease, but in the moment, it was a really dark time. The Brantleys faced that darkness with God's help, and so did Franklin Graham.
I told Ken yesterday that he's responsible for one of the worst weeks of my life. He said it wasn't much better for him.
They can laugh about it now, but before that joy, there was pain, fear, darkness, and a lot of prayer.
And to see answered prayer, wow, it's great. It's hard for me to talk without getting emotional, because I knew what Kent was facing.
If you're facing darkness, there is hope. Learn about it at findpeacewithgod.net, where the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let me tell you something about my next guest. There's few people that will appreciate what I'm going to say as much as my next guest. First of all, Marty Schneider happens to be a legend in the city of San Diego and beyond. Besides being known as the retirement professor, which tells you you can get access to Marty by going to theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. And that's how you know he's a professor. He's got two websites that say the word professor. That's a big key right there. Also, you can call him 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526. Marty, it's great to have you on. Let me tell you what happened. Was not a bris, but my grandson was circumcised this eighth day today. Me and my son alone in the room, plus the circumciser.
Right.
And my grandson. He did not sputter a word of complaint.
Wow, that's amazing.
I know. People don't understand what a big deal that is. It's like, wow, you just don't understand. Either he's a prophet or he's going to be a pain. One of the two.
Right, but he's not going to be a moil, apparently, right, David?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. That's exciting.
This is very exciting. All right, Marty, talk to me about the world gone mad, because every time I talk to you, I get upset because I think the world's going mad.
Yes, well, the truth is you're right, David. It is. It's pretty mashugana out there. Well, you know what's going on right now is the big news is everybody's kind of got their ear to the ground to see what Janet Yellen, the Fed Open Market Committee, started today. Tomorrow they'll release their notes and make a decision on, you know, bumping interest rates. And, of course, you know, everybody's expecting that we will see a rate increase of probably 0.25%, a quarter point. That's what we're expecting. But what really has people interested now is not so much whether they're going to bump rates tomorrow, because that's sort of a given. It is reading the statement to get a sense of how many additional increases they're kind of projecting throughout the year. So it's kind of the tone of their statement to see whether they intend to, you know, be a little more aggressive about bumping rates or a little more passive. And that's what investors are, you know, tuning into here for the next day or so.
Are those bumps reflective, though, of the – I guess the way I would ask this question is, are those bumps reflective of the optimism or anticipation of growth? And isn't, to some degree, the bumps a good thing, because it ultimately means the economy is doing a little better? Isn't that how that works?
it is how that works, David. Yes, and you know, for a decade now, gosh, you know, the Fed has kept the rates at an artificially low level to encourage, you know, borrowing and mortgages and you know, borrowing to start businesses. So they've kept those rates at these artificial levels, and now they're just going to kind of slowly float them back up to where a more normal interest rate curve should really have the rates at. So it is reflective of the fact that, you know, the job numbers have improved, the economy has come off of the 2008, you know, meltdown, and real estate prices are back up. And so, yes, it really is the kind of thing where for so long they kept those rates at that low level, and that was kind of an artificial number just to encourage economic activity. And now they're saying, well, we think we've done the job, and we're going to let the rates kind of float back up here.
Is that reflection, the job increase, which was significant, is that the Trump effect, or is that still somewhat in place from the Obama administration trying to create or generate the economy element? Is this more, nope, this is because new optimism, new approach, new everything, or is it an end result of earlier times of sowing?
Yeah, hard to discern on that one, David. My guess is it's some of each, that you know, the improvement under, you know, over the last 8 years where the economy did improve, and coupled with the optimism about, you know, the Trump being a pro business friendly administration and tax cuts on the horizon and less regulation on businesses, all of that combined is probably, you know, there's some degree of both kind of mixed in there. It's the optimism, I really think, that's driven the stock market to the levels since the election, because that's really not yet based on corporate, you know, profitability. It's based on, you know, we hope it's coming based on the fact that we think this administration's going to, you know, improve things. So that's where I think most of the optimism has lied.
Is what does that mean when you say that they keep the rate artificially lower? I mean, what is that? In other words, what are they doing? Are they putting money into the economy? Are they just buying down rates? I mean, what does that process look
yeah.
like?
Yeah. Well, you know, you might recall back in 2008 when, you know, the intervention where the Fed was just, where they called it, you know, quantitative easing, which was basically printing money, David. And they bailed out, you know, certain large companies that were on the brink of failure. And, you know, there were some automobile companies and there were some banks that they had to step in and seed some capital into. And so when they did that, they also dropped interest rates so that the cost of those loans would not hamper, you know, the opportunity for those businesses to repay those loans. So when I say artificial, what I mean is they drop the rate that – what that rate reflects is the overnight loan rate between lenders. It's the shortest possible – literally an overnight loan from lender to lender, from bank to bank. And that's what those rates reflect. And that's why you won't see necessarily, David, a linear relationship between when the Fed bumps rates a quarter point. It doesn't mean necessarily that the mortgage rates are going to go up a quarter point, because – the mortgage rates are more deemed in to the 10-year note versus the overnight note. So, you know, the short-term bonds versus long-term bonds aren't – there's not a linear relationship there. So it's more the trend line where we're starting to see rates go up. And it's also – it's, you know, for people on a fixed income that have money in the bank or certificates of deposit or bond type of portfolios, they should also start to see those interest rates climb as well. So people that have been kind of complaining about the low yields on their bank accounts, this would have an impact on that over the next couple of years if we continue to see the Fed bump these rates at what we expect them to do.
Yeah, see, so, you know, what we don't do around here, Marty, we don't let people get away with lack of knowledge. We want people to understand. I mean, it's the only way. The only way they're ever going to grow is to understand this stuff. I mean, you can't just sit there and go, oh, I'm going to throw a dart and hope it works.
You know, that's right.
They got to know. Are we the only – we're not the – Or are we the only government that does that artificial stimulation? Are we like, is that what capitalistic societies do? Do they do that in China? How does that, I mean, is that, or is that just really central around capitalism?
No, yeah, it's not just peculiar to the U.S. It's really any and all the countries that operate under a capitalistic system and have a central bank that really controls for each of those countries their overnight lending rate between their banking institutions. But, you know, we're so interconnected these days, David, in terms of lenders that, you know, deal in Germany and France and England and Spain and Italy, that what happens here, because it's denominated in the U.S. currency, which is the dollar, it just has the largest impact on what goes on globally just because of our sheer impact, you know, based on the size of our economy and the fact that most of the currencies are denominated in dollars.
How do you know so much stuff?
You know, I'm just making this up as I go.
I've talked to a lot of financial people. I have never met anybody that knows the depth and the width that you, I mean, there is just nothing I think I've, the only questions that you and I will ever bog down on are deeper theological questions. Because when it has to do with money, you always have, like, this is what's going on. This is where it comes from. I mean, this has to have taken you years to get to this place where you know how all these pieces function, right?
That really is true, David. It's absolutely true. You know, having done this now for, you know, 35 plus years, you learn a lot. And I think, you know, the implication is you have to, from my standpoint, you have to understand the relationships between all of these entities, the bond market, the stock market, the political system you're in, and what's going on, you know, globally, what's going on with energy prices, because all of those things impact, you know, the way the suggestions that I might make to a client at any point in time based on, you know, the current snapshot of the economy. And so, you know, you learn over time how all these pieces are interrelated and how they impact one another. And it's important, I think, for an advisor to have a, you know, a big picture view of what's going on around the world.
That's why people need to get in touch with you, Mario, because, you know, I mean, you've got that command of these different elements. And if somebody's got a question, I mean, I've yet to ask you a financial question that you couldn't answer. So, and that's pretty good because we've been doing this for a while. And the reality is you got to know this stuff, and exactly what you said, how it all connects, so you can understand some of the anticipation, some of the preparation, some of the planning. And that's what you help people do, right, Mario? You don't even charge. They come in and talk with you. You've got that wealth of knowledge, and whether or not they get to access all that just depends on how that relationship is between them and you, right?
Exactly right. Had a lovely couple in today, David, that are KPRZ listeners, first time meeting, and they're really struggling with some debt issues, and I was able to spend an hour with them and just kind of put them on the right track in terms of a strategy to you know, wiggle out from under this as quickly and efficiently as possible. And I might not see these folks for another 2 years unless they need me along the way, but just, you know, happy to do it, and I'm blessed to do it. And, you know, they don't have $1 million to work with or to invest, but this is the ministry part of my world. So, yeah, it's a pleasure and a blessing to do it.
Yeah, you're the man. Marty, you're the man. You're the man, Marty. That's all I'm going to say. I do want people to get in touch with you. 800-727-PLAN, 800-727-7526, or you can go to theretirementprofessor.com or professorsocialsecurity.com. Thank you, my brother, for joining us.
Thank you, David. Always great to chat with you. Catch you next week.
All right, you got it. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back with our Facebook post. Don't go anywhere. My soul to
keep. The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait, Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 877-890-CASH, and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the cash call at 877-890-CASH.
Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender. Call 855-657-9910 for terms and restrictions. California Department of Business Oversight Residential Mortgage Lender Law License 4131083, NMLS 128231.
That's 877-890-CASH.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? Well, the Greek word for be filled offers three different meanings that illustrate Paul's command. First, it describes the pressure of wind filling a ship's sails, wind that helps it move across the water. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us in obedience. Second, it refers to permeation, like what happens when you drop Alka-Seltzer into a glass of water. It fizzles and permeates the water with a distinct flavor. God wants us to be permeated, saturated through and through by the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the third and really primary meaning is that of domination or total control. So to be filled with the Spirit, yield every thought, every feeling, and every action to the control of the Holy Spirit.
Dr. Kent Brantley contracted Ebola while working as a medical missionary in Liberia. Kent's boss, Franklin Graham, talked to Kent's wife after he heard the news.
There wasn't much I could say to comfort her, but I told her, I said, we try to do all that we can.
Kent was healed of the disease, but in the moment, it was a really dark time. The Brantleys faced that darkness with God's help, and so did Franklin Graham.
I told Ken yesterday that he's responsible for one of the worst weeks of my life. He said it wasn't much better for him.
They can laugh about it now, but before that joy, there was pain, fear, darkness, and a lot of prayer.
And to see answered prayer, wow, it's great. It's hard for me to talk without getting emotional, because I knew what Kent was facing.
If you're facing darkness, there is hope. Learn about it at findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to, you can reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com, our Facebook, The David Spoon Experience, as well, HisAppointment.com. You know, I love talking to Marty. In fact, Tugboat Todd and I were talking off the air. It is just amazing the depth and the breadth of knowledge that that man has in finance. Just incredible. And we were talking about 35-plus years in the same industry. That man knows his business. Love that. He's a great, great brother, and just really appreciate him in the Lord. Okie dokie artichoke. We're going to get ready to do our Facebook post. This is what we call a redo. You know what a redo is? You know, that's it's when you do it again. You redo it. So we're going to play, I think, our little music-y-y-y thing. And the title of this, by the way, That Doesn't Make It True. What do we have for our sound blast, Tugboat Todd?
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
So now you're thinking, well, why would you play that? Well, there's a reason why. So take a deep breath and try not to hold it, because that's not good for anybody anywhere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. One thing you can know, if there's a 1 Thessalonians, that means there's a 2 Thessalonians. That might help. But here's what the passage says. Test all things. Hold on to that which is good. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. So why did we play Tell Me Lies when you're saying that? I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot of people saying a lot of things all over the airways. It doesn't matter if it's radio or television. It doesn't matter if it's the internet. It doesn't matter if it's streaming. It doesn't matter if there's some kind of banners. It doesn't matter if it's a magazine. It doesn't matter if it's a news media. It doesn't matter if it's a movie company or a television show. All these different groups and all these different communicators are all saying a lot of things. And if you really think that they're saying things strictly from a morality base, that they have one morality strain versus another, you should understand that one cannot serve God and mammon or God and money. Most of these outlets that use unbelievably terrible sociological approaches do it for the money. Disney would do nothing if they didn't make a dollar, period. You can't tell me, oh, Disney's all about committing this and all about, they're all about making bucks. You've got to be kidding. But just because you hear something, see something, read something, watch something, no matter where it is, whether it's a Disney or even if it's somewhere spiritual, it doesn't make it so. And scripture is clear that we are supposed to test all things. Another translation says prove all things, but hold on to that which is good. Because it is spoken, radio, Christian radio or not, because it is spoken does not make it true. Because you hear it on television does not make it true. Because you see it in a movie does not make it true. Because a politician says it, you can count on it, that doesn't make it true. Because a Christian says something doesn't make it true. Oh, people don't like, well, how could you say that? Well, there's one main reason I can say that. Romans chapter 3, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's pretty much, I can do it just right there. Because it's Christian radio and we say something doesn't make it so, and that's for sure. I strongly encourage you, no matter whose show, especially mine, to make sure that the things are so according to Scripture. It doesn't matter. Not just every show, every place, every outlet. And because a pastor says something is so, doesn't make it true, and I want to point this out, that's how many cults have started. It's true if you examine it with the truth, God's word, and it proves to be true. You might have a different slant on how Scripture leans in a particular theology. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about testing it, proving it, examining it, and if it's found true, that you hold on to it with everything you've got. Make sure that we are like the Bereans and that we validate whether these things are so, because hearing them means nothing. Proving them means something. And you have a plumb line by which to prove. It's Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and we need to know what's in that book so we can know what is true and what is not. Test all things. Hold on to what is good. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.